The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my technical engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day in Sonoma County, and what a beautiful weekend it was. Today we are celebrating the Women's March that happened all across the globe. And I have on the phone with me Leslie Graves from Santa Rosa, and she's going to give us an update on what happened. I thought it would be fun. Last week we had her on the show talking about what was going on in Santa Rosa, and now I'd like her to give us a little update. Are you there, Leslie?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on board today.
Well, like, I just thought maybe you could give a little update on how many people you think attended the march, you know, what was your sense of it, and a special thank you. You know, I was so honored I got to introduce Linda Hopkins, our fifth district supervisor. So give us a little overview. How many people do you think you came, and what was your overall feeling of what happened?
Well, the overall feeling was just fantastic. It was very overwhelming and energizing as well, moving forward onto getting everybody voting in the polls, both local elections, June 5th and in November, for the midterms. And I think lots of progress was made. We've got 22 people registered to vote at the Sonoma County Democratic Party booth on Saturday alone, which is a record number for just an hour and a half event. We had one new citizen that registered that day. We had two lifelong Republicans change over to Democrats.
Oh, wow.
There we go. Half a dozen of 16 to 17-year-olds were pre-registered, and lots of enthusiasm. Our overall numbers that we're estimating was over 5,000 people. I realized there was a Press Democrat article printed in the paper yesterday, some front page news, as well as on page 8, and they estimated a couple thousand. Now, I'm really familiar with Courthouse Square. I've put on 16 nights of the Wednesday night market last year alone, as well as about half a dozen other events I was involved with, including a car show, Sonoma Strong, the opening of the square, and a candlelight vigil. And, you know, I have to say that that number was underreported by the Press Democrat.
Leslie, you have my vote. If you say 5,000, I'm with you, because that's what I felt. I was trying to take a count, and I was counting heads, and I got up to over 3,000, so I know. You know, I just want to fill in a little bit here. You know, we also had folks on from San Francisco. I had a woman by the name of Sophia Audrey from San Francisco, and they reported, you're not going to believe this. Are you sitting down? 80,000.
80,000.
They were so, when you watched on television, it was wall to wall people. And in our little town of Sonoma, which Amy Gallagher called me and gave a report, she was also on last week. Sonoma had over 2,000 people in that little town in the little square.
Yes, I saw their pictures were absolutely fantastic. And I have to say, they did a tremendous job working with a large committee, getting that all organized. It was amazing. Sebastopol had over 1,000 people. And Santa Rosa, in just 2 weeks of putting the word out, we started organizing 2 weeks beforehand. And to have over 5,000 people come to the square, the businesses downtown were packed afterwards.
I know we had lunch.
The garages were packed. It was amazing.
Well, before we say goodbye, I want to make one last comment. For me, the highlight of the whole thing was those three young women talking about how they changed the dress code. I mean, kudos to Jenny Close for bringing those young girls out. Wasn't that amazing?
And that was actually two young girls from Santa Rosa Middle School, and Milo Thompson, a young man from Santa Rosa High School. He was so eloquent, and he was so passionate about women's rights, that I can see the misconception there. And I also want to say that that is our future, and they are able to pre-register. As soon as they turn 16, they're able to pre-register. And registering to vote is easier and easier. It's all online, and you can get a ton of information from our Sonoma County Register of Voters. Give them a call, 707-565-6800, or visit them on their website, sonomacounty.ca.gov/vote, and I'll be sending you all of that information. You can post it on your online site as well. There is a lot of need to register to vote if you are displaced from your residence due to the fires. There's information there that is very detailed. We don't have time to go into it all, but the Sonoma County Register of Voters, I just talked to them this morning. They are very excited to get the word out, and today at noon, they are revamping their website with information just for fire victims from the Tubbs fires and more.
Well, Leslie Graves, I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on again to Women's Spaces, and a special shout out to you to be able to pull that together in 2 weeks. I know you had a great team that worked with you. Many, many names. You all know who we are, and thank you. Thank you so much. And wishing you a wonderful, wonderful week, Leslie.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for participating. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. Sonoma County is strong on so many different levels. We're going to progress forward, and we're going to do this together. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care.
Wow. I'm telling you, it's just amazing, the women. And, you know, I'm going to have some special guests with me. I have three special people with me in the studio this morning. Joining me from the California Human Development, CHDC, is Sarissa McNichols and Estrella Martinez. And we'll be talking about, listen to this, the $5 million their organization has been awarded to assist disaster relief services to immigrants who are wildfire survivors. Oh, my goodness. And these people, they have funds available for folks living in the following counties: Butte, Lake, Mendocino, Nevada, Napa, Sonoma, Orange, Yuba, and Solano counties. And I know we've got 18 counties out there listening, so I'm going to repeat that. Butte, Lake, Mendocino, Nevada, Napa County, Sonoma County, Orange, Yuba, and Solano counties. And so these women are going to have some really good information about how to get some support. And they're on a deadline that they're going to talk about, too. And also, I am just beyond myself. I'm going to have our own district attorney, Jill Ravajon, to talk about the Family Justice Center. And what's so interesting, I looked up some statistics. And we have, in the state of California, we have 56 counties. And out of those 56 counties, only 18 are female district attorneys. And Jill Ravage holds the honor of being the first woman ever to be elected for the district attorney here in Sonoma County. So we have a pretty good show lined up, so please, please stay tuned. And also, I want to remind folks that the Sonoma County Gazette is on the street. You know, we have KBBF has a column in there called Radioland, and I also do the Santa Rosa Snippets. So if any of you folks have any information in Santa Rosa that you would like to be put in the Sonoma County Gazette, just give me, email me at elaine@womensspaces.com, and we'll see if we can accommodate you. And I got to tell you something. I was just thrilled to be at that march it was a gathering, to see so many wonderful people and to see the sign. I mean, that square was filled, and all the different organizations that came out and the way the police were interacting with the people. It was really a wonderful event here in Santa Rosa. And I can't thank Leslie Graves enough. I mean, when you think that she pulled that together in 2 weeks, it's just amazing. And then Sonoma, the little town, over 2,000 women showing up. Just amazing. Well, another amazing thing happened this weekend that I thought was really exciting to me is we went, and, you know, we are a nonprofit station here, so we don't advertise. So I'm just mentioning this to people. We went and saw The Post last night at the airport cinemas, and it was just an amazing film. It brought back the memories of what was going on during the Vietnam War. And, you know, one of the most valuable validating things about this film is it shows how the young people that were out in the streets getting arrested, burning their draft cards, doing all the things that they were doing back then to stop this horrible, horrible war. I myself, when I saw that young girl running with napalm, I was a young mother. I said to myself, this has got to stop. I mean, if this is what war is about, doing this to children, forget about it. I'm becoming anti-war. I don't want anything to do with it, period. You know, it's really interesting. There's an old saying, there but for fortune go you or I. When I saw that little girl, I could almost imagine, oh my God, if that ever happened to my little girl. So what happens to one child happens to another child. And that those are the ones who suffer during wars, the children and the women. I mean, even when you look at Nazi Germany, when Germany was completely bombed, you know who rebuilt the whole city? It was the women. It was the women who struggled and suffered. So we really have to start looking at what war is all about, and that what the movie does, it brings back the memory, and it also says the people were right on. They were exactly right. So a special shout out to Daniel Ellsberg and also to Steven Spielberg for bringing that drama of what the Washington Post went to bring the truth to the people, especially in today's world when they're talking about fake news. I mean, come on, guys. You know, we have to, in a democracy, you have to have a strong paper. You have to have a strong news source. Your media has to be strong for the people, by the people, not for the corporations, by the corporations. So I recommend that people go out and see that movie, sit around with your friends and have a discussion. It was amazing. My little girl, my daughter was only about 5 years old, and here I was, her mother was out there protesting. I mean, we were scared. It was very, very interesting time. Anyway, I just thought I would let folks know about that. Well, anyway, we're going to take a musical break. And, you know, in light of the Women's March and right of how many women came out, I mean, Las Vegas, they had over 20,000 women in the stadium there all across the nation. I mean, can you imagine 80,000 people coming out in San Francisco? It was tremendous. It really was. And all of us, why are we there? Why are we there? Why are we out in the streets marching? Well, it's a real simple answer to me. We're afraid of losing our democracy. We're afraid of losing our freedoms. You know, and we want to make sure as women that we are noticed and we have a place on the table. You know, it's really interesting. Shirley Chisholm was one of the women who ran for president. I think she actually was one of the first women that actually threw her hat into the ring. And she was an African-American woman. And she said, if you do not have a place at the table, bring your own folding chair. I mean, I really like that. I think that just such a clever thought. Well, anyway, we're going to play the song Imagine. It's one of my favorite songs. In fact, when it would go on, if I was in the car, if I could pull over, I would just pull over and close my eyes and I would visualize John Lennon singing that song. It was so beautiful. But as you know, for Women's Spaces, I'm always trying to find women singing the same songs that were made popular perhaps by men. And so I found one sung by the cast of the TV series Glee. You know, and when I think of the Vietnam War, we were all imagining an end to war, a peace that would help create a world that we would all be proud of. I think one of the biggest disappointments to me is when I think about is the fact that women are in politics. Today, we do have women in politics, and we're still warring. You know, I have a friend of mine that says, until we get 66% of the women at the table, we'll never have peace. You know, 15,000, I am so excited, 15,000 women are running for office across the United States, for the Senate, for Congress, for all kinds of different seats, for mayors, all kinds of different things happening. And I'm really excited to announce that next Monday, I'm going to have a woman by the name of Alexandria DeLuca on, and she is the PR manager for what is known as Emily's List. Emily's List is a program that provides funds for women who want to run for office. So stay tuned next week. It's very important. Well, here we're going to take our musical break. We're going to listen to Imagine by Glee. And when I come back, I'll be talking to Sarissa. Sarissa, boy, you know, I got to tell you a little secret. Sarissa is very, very close to me. She actually grew up with my daughter, and it's just so exciting to have her here in the studio with me. And we'll be talking with her and Estrella Martinez. They're both from the California Human Development, and we're going to be talking about a very important program. So I suggest that you guys really tune in and get yourself a pencil and a paper and you write down some of the information, because the California Human Development has been approved to disperse $5 million in aid to Northern California fire-affected immigrants. So this is a very, very important program. So get your pencils and pens out. So here we go with Imagine, sung by the group from the chorus, I guess, from the program called Glee.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too.
Goodness, when I hear that song, it just puts me in a whole space, you know. And I want to change a few words. Sisterhood of humanity, you know, they say brotherhood, let's get those women in there. And also, you know, you might say I'm a dreamer. Well, there are dreamers that are trying to make sure that they stay in this country, and we need to pay attention to that. Young people, you know, we're all immigrants. I mean, I'm just a first-generation American on my father's side. He was born in Poland. Well, anyway, for you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. God, I almost forgot my name. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two special guests in the studio with me, Sarisa McNichols and Estrella Martinez, both from California Human Development Corporation. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's just a pleasure. You know, before we begin, I'd like to tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Estrella Martinez works as a case manager for seniors before coming to California Human Development. She has been employed as a bilingual case manager for CHDC's One Stop Wildfire Relief and Resource Center since December last year.
Yes.
Oh, you've been busy.
Very busy.
Oh, yes. And Cerisa McNichols, I've known her a long time as she's been working for nonprofits that serve immigrants for over 20 years. She currently works as a program planner and grant writer for CHDC. Actually, Cerisa has migrated from Korea when she was 14 months old and has spent all her adult life advocating for immigrant rights. And just in case her mother, Kim, is listening, let's do a shout out for Kim. And she just had back surgery and wishing her a speedy recovery. Well, ladies, welcome to Women's Spaces. I'm really happy to see you.
We're happy to be here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, let's talk a little bit. First, how did you, what is this all about? How did the California Human Development respond to the folks in the community to begin with? And how is it that they got this grant, and what was the impact on immigrants during the fire?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about California Human Development for your listeners who maybe aren't familiar with us.
Okay.
We found that there are a lot of people who have heard about us. We've been around for 50 years, but they weren't really sure if we're like a government agency or a state agency. We are a nonprofit, 501c3. We've been around for 50 years. We just had our 50th anniversary last year. We started as a farm worker services organization, advocating for the rights of farm worker services. But today we advocate for the rights of all people who are low income and striving to train them to become self-sufficient, help them in terms of building their own economic stability.
Well, I just want to throw something in. I actually was very good friends with the founder, George Ortiz.
Oh.
And I have to do a shout out. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, they just did so many wonderful things for so many people in the community. So go ahead.
Yeah, and George still is still around the office sometimes. He's great. Still giving us input. But today we have a farm worker services program. We have a treatment services program. We have a residential program that Stonehouse out on Highway 12 is formerly known as Athena House. That's one of our programs. It's a program for treatment services for women with their children. They can bring their children with them there, too.
You know, I wrote the second grant on that.
And oh, you did?
Yes, I worked for Athena House.
Oh.
And what was so interesting, the government at that time, when they used to send the grants out, they used to send it out on orange paper. And I said, if I ever got to a place where I could change that, I'm going to change it to white paper. Can you imagine trying to write a grant on orange paper and photocopying it? And that when I got to CETA, that was one of the first things I did, was made a suggestion that we just have white paper. So go ahead, continue.
Yeah. No, well, so, and we have also have outpatient program, treatment program. We have a disability services program where we have a day program for adults with disabilities. And we have an immigration program. Another thing is that, you know, we have a really great immigration staff to help people. Our prices are lower than a lot of other places. And we have a really great track record at helping people. And sometimes when we have some additional funding, some of the services there can be even done at not completely no cost, but some of the components are no cost.
Well, talk about this grant that you got. You got this that you're dispersing $5 million in aid to Northern California. How did that come about?
Well, I think right 2 weeks after the fires, we set up our one-stop wildfire relief and resource center to fill the needs of the people who were affected by the fires. We were very fortunate to get funding from Redwood Credit Union. We got $500,000 to help people. And one of the things that we noticed, that money was not just for immigrants, but because we are known to the immigrant population, we had a lot of people come to us because they knew it was a safe place where they could come, documented or undocumented. We did some work with UndocuFund to help people access that funding stream, too. And so we were called by the California Department of Social Services and asked if we could be the primary agency to disperse this $5 million to the immigrant population. And it's a very specific immigrant population, as Estella will tell you about the qualifiers for that. It's for low-income people, low-income immigrant population. But we are also working with some partners on this, Catholic Charities, Napa Valley, I can't remember the name of the organization. There's a few voices in Napa. I'll get back to that other organization in Napa, but we're working with partners also, so people can go and apply for these funding through that too.
Estella, is that how you got hired through this program, as when you came on as a caseworker for students?
Yes, there was a high need, because what they were doing is they were just pulling staff from other departments, and they realized that, you know, they need a whole staff in itself just for that new department that they had just opened. And that's where I came in, and I was interviewed, and within a week or two I was hired on, and there is lots of work. It's a high demand.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because when we think of immigrants, you know, when we think of this fire, we think of Coffee Park, you know, we think of, you know, a Fountain Grove. We don't think of everyday people that are affected, that people living in apartment houses, people that don't have homes, that are having other things. So what type of population started coming to you with problems,
well,
with issues?
A lot of people that they might not have been affected in the fire, that their house actually burned down. But we realized that people that were working at Coffee Park, such as landscapers, construction workers,
wow, yeah.
Babysitters, people that were taking care of the families that had seniors at the home, or caregivers. So we kind of forget that, you know, that people were not necessarily living there, but that was their livelihood, working in that area. So a lot of housekeepers. So those are the people that started coming in, because they lost their wages completely. Sometimes that was like their only thing. There was a lot of single moms. There was a lot of people that were dependent, that the dad was a landscaper and the mom was a caregiver or a nanny to one of the children. So their livelihood was completely lost.
You know, we never think of those things.
No.
We don't think of the underlying situation that is happening with people. I've often thought of that. I mean, I remember when we would go up Fountain Grove. It was so well manicured. And I would say, I said to Ken and I were talking, I says, God, imagine all the landscapers and all the different, the maids, all the different people that are really affected besides the homeowners. So what does a person have to do if they need some funds or they need some support?
What they have to do is, first of all, call us, and we will go through some, qualifying questions. And basically, one of the main ones is, how are you affected by the wildfires? Did you lose income? Was your place burned down? Was there any damage? And if you say, of course, you know, this is how I was affected. The second thing is, are you low income? So we have guidelines, and we have them in front of us. All the case managers, including the receptionists, have all the guidelines in front of them. If they meet the qualifying income guidelines, the other thing is, are you have a documentation, immigration documentation? So that's another thing that
do
we
they have
ask
to have
for.
Documentation, or can they?
They do not have to.
So they don't have to be.
They don't have to.
So when they come to you, are there any questions asked? Are there any reporting done?
I mean, no, we do not.
Interesting, because we're going to have Jill Revis, our district attorney, on after.
Yeah, we do not report, and we make it very clear that we do not report, or we're not involved with any of the raids and all that.
Well, it's just an amazing program. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Sarisa, to what Estrella said?
Well, just in terms of, you know, being here on Women's Spaces, talking about women, not just this particular population, but we have served, you know, like I said, all fire-affected survivors, mm-hmm. or, you know, anyone who's been affected with that Redwood Credit Union money. But about 15% of the people who have come to apply for assistance have been single moms. So like Estella said, there are quite a few women who are, immigrants and non-immigrants who are holding down the fort and lost everything in these fires, or lost all their employment.
Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, and I think what we need to do is give the website, and I have a phone number here. Who is John Way? John Way is the person who is overseeing the program.
He's our contracts. He's kind of somebody who does everything there. He does a lot of our operations. He does our contracts management. So he's the contact here. But if you want to, if someone wants to get an appointment at the center, they can call 523-1155. extension 4740, and that'll get you straight through to the center where they will do a screening for you and then give you an appointment.
And that's area code 707. So let me tell the folks one more time, 707-523-1155. And what was that extension?
4740.
And we'll post it on womenspaces.com so other people can, you know, everyone can see it.
Great.
We'll put all the information. Estrella, any last words, you know, to let people know that if you come down, if you call, there is bilingual. They have Spanish speakers as well as English speakers. They will let you know. And I understand you're on a deadline.
Yes.
What's the deadline?
February 7th.
And what happens February 7th? They say, give me that money back?
Well,
get down there, folks.
At this point, we really need to try and get everybody in before that deadline. The other thing I wanted to mention, the other NAPA partner is Up Valley Family Services. So Catholic Charities, Up Valley Family Services, Voices are all organizations that are also completing applications. So if you live in those areas, you can give those organizations a call and go in and fill an application out there, too.
And also, I gave all the information to KBBF, and so you can also call here at 707-545-8833 and find out information. And folks, you know, you have to support your public radio. I mean, here we have $5 million that are being given away. I haven't heard about it anywhere. I don't see it anywhere. And then all of a sudden I find a little article and I call them and here they are on public radio telling people who may be struggling to survive with these fires that this has existed. It's very important that you support our station, KBBF. You can do it through being a sustainer. Just give it a donation. Call 707-545-8833. Talk to Edgar Avila. He's our program manager. He will give you all kinds of ways you can support this station. Well, ladies, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and for doing the work that you're doing. And I want to remind our listeners just one more time, we've been talking with two women from the California Human Development. The California Human Development has been approved to disperse $5 million in aid to Northern California fires affected by immigrants. If they don't get rid of the money by February 6th, folks, it's going back wherever it goes back to. So please give a call to 707-523-1155. What was the extension?
Extension 4740.
4740, and they'll give you all the information. If you have a friend that's been having problems, give them a call, find out the information for them, and then give California Human Development a call. Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
Oh, this is incredible. Again, women taking care of women. And it's amazing, 15% of single parents. I wonder, single women who are raising children, you know, I wonder how many are afraid to come forward. So it's really interesting. Anyway, we are going to take a musical break. And when we come back, joining me in the studio is our own Sonoma County District Attorney, Jill Ravage. Jill Ravage is the first woman to serve as District Attorney in Sonoma County, and she is one of 18 women out of 56 counties here in the state of California that is actually a District Attorney. And she's enjoying her second term, and rumor has it that she might be running again for a third term. Anyway, the song I will be playing is called Singing for Our Lives, sung by Holly Neer. And that's how I felt with all the women's marches. We are singing for our lives. We are marching for our lives. We are marching for peace. We are marching for the future of our children. Anyway, here we go. Singing for Our Lives, sung by Holly Neer.
Because
We are singing for our lives. You know, I remember when I met Holly Neer, and all of a sudden, there I was sitting there, and there were women performing. This was in 1976, and I said, wow, women performers. It was just amazing. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine Behold. And with me in the studio is Sonoma County's District Attorney, Jill Ravitch. Welcome, Jill. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Good morning, Elaine. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I know. I remember the first time I interviewed you on television.
I remember, too.
It was just an amazing thing. Well, welcome. And before we start, I'd like to tell our listeners just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, rumor has it, you know, you're in your second term, and I got to get it out. Rumor has it you might be running again for a third
it's
term.
It's not a rumor. It's true.
Oh, well, congratulations. You're willing to throw your hat. Do you think there's going to be – I mean, you had quite a race the last time.
Well, I don't know what the future will hold, but it's been an honor to serve. I'm in my eighth year now, and I think I have a little bit that I can still bring to the job, and so I'm hopeful that the public will support me.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question just to get you off a little bit. You were at the Women's March yesterday, on Saturday.
I was in Santa Rosa and in Sonoma.
Oh, both? You went to both? What was your feeling? How did you feel?
Oh, it was terrific. The energy was amazing, and I heard you speak in Santa Rosa, and I was given an opportunity to speak in Sonoma. What I loved was the number of people who came out, and I love to see the youth who came out, and I love the remarks by some of those kids who spoke in Santa Rosa.
It was
really great, and to see multi-generational representation there was just terrific.
Can you imagine? They changed the dress code. I got to tell you a funny story, and I tried to find them. I'm going to try to get them on the show to read what they wrote. But when I went to junior high school, Fairfax High School, I was suspended for 5 days for wearing pedal pushers, red lipstick, and earrings. And they sent me home. And my mother calls the school and said, oh, you suspended her for 5 days. Well, she's elated. So, I mean, it really brought back a memory. Well, let's tell a little bit about you, Jill, because you have quite a fascinating background. Actually, Jill Ravitch is the first woman to serve as district attorney for Sonoma County. And, you know, it's very interesting because I remember it. I can see it like it was yesterday, the first day I met you. We were at the No Name group, and you got up there and announced that you were running for district attorney the first time. And I remember saying to myself, wow, a woman district attorney in our community. And we really, really were gung-ho about that. So that I remember that. It just sticks out in my mind. But your hair is a little different. That's why I say you look just very, very good.
Well, thank you. It's a little grayer.
Well, we're all getting older. Anyway, Jill Ravitch is a graduate of UC Berkeley. She attended the University of San Francisco Law School, and upon graduation in 1987, began her pro-sectional career at the Alameda County District Attorney's Office. She moved to Sonoma County in 1990 and joined the Sonoma County District Attorney's Office, where she earned recognition for her prosecution skills, handling many complex and high-profile sexual assault, domestic violence, gang violence, and homicide cases. How do you keep yourself positive when you see, I mean, you see the dark side of life?
Well, but
how do
don't
you keep yourself up.
Well, that's a good. Well, first of all, you take care of yourself, and I love to exercise. Sonoma County is a great place for that. But second of all, you focus on the victims. We are a voice for victims in the courtroom, and yes, they've been traumatized, and yes, they sometimes are still in crisis when we first meet them. But ultimately, we're working hard to make sure they have a voice in the proceedings, and that's rewarding.
Well, I know also part of your career. I know there was a Women's Justice Center, and I'm a little bit confused of what the difference is between the two. And then you focused in on doing a Family Justice Center. What was your motivation there?
Well, I have to give credit to my predecessor. He was part of the evolution of the Family Justice Center in Sonoma County. It was a multi-year planning process with a number of our partners here in Sonoma County. When I was elected, that's when the center opened, so I kind of inherited the center, and I've done everything I can to make it a very successful, self-sustaining center. And we have served over 3,000 clients since we opened in 2011. It's been terrifically successful.
Well, you know, we have the Me Too right now that's happening, and then the time's up. The two movements that are happening around women, around sexual harassment, and around sexual abuse. How How is that handled with the district attorney? You know, it's really interesting. I was thinking about that. Is what happens? A woman, something happens to a woman. What is she supposed to do? Is she supposed to call a hotline, or how is it handled?
Well, it really depends on what type of problem the woman is encountering. If it is simply something where she's being harassed in the workplace, then she can look into an employment situation with her HR director, or if she wants to take it further, she can look into whether she wants to take action against the harasser. When it comes into the criminal context, the woman can either come to our Family Justice Center, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit, or she can contact the police department. We don't handle civil harassment matters per se. We handle the criminal matters that may come out of what begins as a harassing situation.
So say, for example, a woman is being harassed, she could still come and she can still get some support or some suggestions.
We never turn anybody away. If we can't help them at the center itself, we'll always be giving them referrals to other places they can go to try and get assistance. Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that happened to me that was fascinating when I start finding out about the Family Justice Center is all of a sudden all these different organizations that are involved. I mean, it's like almost like a big umbrella. Like a woman can walk in and go da da da, and then all of a sudden there's a place that she can be referred to. So talk a little bit about the center and give us a little rundown of what's the difference between, especially now with the Me Too, why would one woman want to go to, say, the Women's Justice Center, or why would you recommend going to the Family Justice Center?
Well, I'm not sure what the Women's Justice Center is. I know there is an organization with Marie DeSantis at the helm, and she's done an outstanding job of being a voice for women who feel that they've been disenfranchised and aren't being treated properly by police agencies, and we've had a lot of conversation. The Family Justice Center is a one-stop shop for victims of family violence, sexual assault, elder abuse, or child abuse. What we did here in the county, which is follow a model that is actually international now, is we looked at where a woman will go to get services throughout her process of being victimized. And what we found in Sonoma County was that a woman would make almost 24 trips to different agencies to get the services that she needs to get back on her feet and to begin moving from victim to survivor. And the idea behind the center is to bring all those services into one location so that the victim only has to go to one spot to get the assistance she needs so that she can begin to heal. And so what we've done at the Family Justice Center is we've brought together all these different agencies. They have representatives at the center available to meet with any client who comes through the doors. Anybody who lives in Sonoma County can avail themselves of these services at no cost. We have a variety of different languages that are spoken at the center so that we can provide assistance in English, Spanish, variety of different languages, and also for people that are hard of hearing or deaf. And it has been incredibly successful. As I said, we've served over 3,000 clients. And to see a victim move from that darkness, that sense of isolation, into a place where she is literally embraced by all of these service providers so that she begins to look up again and begins to plot her future, and her future is a positive one, it's an amazing transformation.
So how are you involved? Are you part of an advisory capacity? Are you on a board? I mean, how does the district attorney's office interrelate with them?
Well, Family Justice Centers are modeled differently. In this county, it's modeled as a division of the district attorney's office. Oh. So I am responsible for it as the fiscal and administrative lead. What that means is I'm responsible for the budget. I also am responsible for our executive director as well as our operations manager, and then I'm also responsible with regard to overseeing the budget that keeps the doors open. It's housed in a building that's owned by the county, and we are lucky enough to stay there for rent-free. We are in a rent-free status. Yeah, it's great. And so then we just work with our partners to make sure that we've got the right people in the center providing services every day. I'm also on our foundation board, and I want to do a little plug for philanthropists. We're always raising money for the Family Justice Center because, unlike any other Family Justice Center, the money we raise goes to support the agencies on site. So the agencies might include the YWCA, Verity, which is our Rape Crisis Center, Legal Aid, Catholic Charities. We are raising money to assist them in keeping an advocate on site on a daily basis.
Wow, that is a lot. I mean, it's an amazing program. I know when I called and I start finding out all the ins and outs of it, the idea that a woman, like you say, can come. They don't have to go to 20 different places because it's hard enough just to come forward, you know, let alone right. have to schlep from one agency to another. And then this one doesn't know what that one's doing. And before you know it, you say, I give up.
That's right.
You know, so it's really an amazing process. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Me Too. How and the Time's Up, how has that affected the program? Do you find more women suddenly are coming forward, or has this always been just a kind of a smooth, you know, a percentage coming pretty consistently?
Well, I don't think there's really a consistent number of people who come to the FJC for services. Primarily, we see victims of family violence. We see a number of victims of sexual assault, child abuse and elder abuse, as I said. But I don't think that these movements necessarily are changing the numbers in terms of the people that we're seeing. I think it's impacting us in the community in different ways, such as on Saturday when I saw you at the Women's March. I think a lot of women now are stepping up, standing up, and saying, I need to get involved in my community, and I have a voice that counts.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with Emily's List, but I'm sure,
sure
you
am.
Are. Well, next week I'm going to be having their PR person on to talk about how women can get funds from them. You know, the encouraging more women. 15,000 women are running across the United States for office, which is just incredible.
I think it's great. Listen, when I first ran for district attorney, there were very few women that held that position in this state. We've increased in the 8 years that I've held my position, but still, I'm the only woman who has a county wide elected position in Sonoma County. I think that we can improve upon that, and I know we have some candidates that are running in the election this year.
Well, what's so exciting, you know, I think, you know, I want to do a shout out for our county because I think we're a little bit ahead of the fold. I mean, now we have three women majority.
That's true.
I mean, it's so interesting. We have one woman on the city council, and then we have three women on the board of supervisors. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I think about it because I graduated Sonoma State, and I was very involved with the women's movement at the time. And I remember just coming into groups and thinking, women running for office? I mean, it was almost like this, oh, how is this possible? Are we really going to be able to do it? And I remember my mother never identified being a housewife or anything, and she used to say to me, well, can't you just think of me as a first liberated woman? And I thought, wow, and here we are now. At least, like you said, you're one of the first women even to run for this office, and now we have 18 in the state, which is, you know, it's not the best number, but it's a lot better than zero.
Well, it is, and as far as law enforcement goes, in Sonoma County, we don't have any women in the hierarchy in these agencies in Sonoma County. There's an assistant chief in Petaluma who's a female. Otherwise, we just aren't seeing women coming up in the ranks, and I would encourage women interested in doing law enforcement work to look at the opportunities in our local agencies.
Well, that leads me to the next question. The most important thing, too, is I think that one thing that women want to know, when they go to the Family Justice Center, is it confidential?
I mean, absolutely.
Do they have to make, you know, that one of the questions that when I was telling people that I was going to interview you, one of the first thing they said, ask her if we need to make a police report.
No. First of all, you do not need to make a police report when you come to the FJC. Matters are handled in a confidential manner. We have a release that we go over with the clients when they're ready to sit and talk and discuss who they would like to get services from. Some services are mandatory reporters, such as members of my office and members of police departments that are there. But clients can get confidential services at the Family Justice Center. We never report on immigration status, so people don't have to worry about whether or not they're documented. And if they get to a place where they're ready to make a police report, we have police agencies on site. The first floor of the center is all advocacy services. The second floor of the center houses the Santa Rosa Police Department and the Sheriff's Office Detective Bureaus. If a client is ready to make a police report, the police departments are ready to take one, but they're not required to report to the police.
Well, you know, another interesting thing, and I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here, something that Chris Rogers said at the rally when he spoke, and he said something about the threat of putting public officials in jail because of the sanctuary, and that shocked me when he said, and then he said, well, put my butt in jail, and I thought, what? What is that about? I mean, is as a district attorney, is that possible?
I was there and I remember hearing Crispy, but I don't remember that particular reference, so I'm going to have to refer you back to him to find out what he was talking about. I think any time you violate the law, you face possibly losing your liberty and going to jail, but I'm not really sure what specifically Chris was talking about. We do not cooperate directly with ICE. We're not involved in any ICE activities in Sonoma County, nor do we report to ICE. And I think that for the most part, Sonoma County just goes about its business, making sure that all citizens are happy and healthy as possible.
I like that, happy and healthy as possible. And also, we just brought Rosalind in, which was absolutely wonderful. I mean, I think that's going to solve a lot of issues that we have in the county also. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to solve problems, but I think it's a bright new chapter in the history of Sonoma County.
I like that, a bright new chapter. We need new chapters.
Absolutely.
We need things moving forward. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment. It just, time goes by so fast.
It does.
You know, one last thing I want to ask you. You kind of hit upon it a little bit. Let's say there's a woman out there who wants to become involved in law enforcement or even one day be a district attorney like yourself. What suggestions? I mean, what motivated you to beginning at the beginning of your work that you knew you wanted to work in law enforcement? And what would you recommend to that woman out there listening, that young woman?
Well, I get contacted a lot by people that are interested in working in the criminal justice system. What I say is ask questions, check it out, talk to anybody you can, get as much firsthand experience as you can so you can make the right decisions. I'm an adjunct professor at Empire Law School. I invite anybody who's interested in law school to come on down and sit in on a class. If you're interested in the court process, come on down and sit in the courtroom. We're open to the public every day.
Well, that's amazing. So actually a young woman could come, sit, and watch and kind of experience what's happening and even give you a little call to maybe meet with you?
Absolutely. We have people coming through our office and through the courthouse every day who want to learn more about the system.
Well, Jill Ravitch, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. Are there any last words that you'd like to say or anything you'd like to share with the community? And also, if you'd like to give information on how they can get a hold of you.
Right. Well, as far as the Family Justice Center goes, our location is 2755 Mendocino Avenue. We're over near Kaiser off Bicentennial Way. The telephone number there, 707-565-8255. Don't need an appointment. You can just show up. We're open from 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday.
Don't they have a hotline?
We don't have a hotline, but we refer people to Verity's hotline or the YWCA's hotline after hours. But during the hours of 8:30 to 4:30, 565-8255, and we can provide assistance. You can also Google us, fjcsc.org, and there's lots of information on our website for anybody who's interested. And then if anybody wants to contact me, I'm at the DA's office. You can Google me, too. It's so easy to find people these days. And I welcome an email, telephone call, whatever it is that I can do, because it is an honor and privilege to serve as district attorney. I'm looking forward to another term, and if anybody has any ideas about how I can do my job better, I welcome them.
Well, I want to thank you, Jill Ravitch, Sonoma County District Attorney, for lending your voice to Women's Spaces and for being at the Women's March and for participating in the ways that you do.
Well, thank you, Elaine.
Oh, it was just a pleasure. Oh, what a great show. You know, there's some beautiful, beautiful women in our community and also some ideas on how to step forward. I had no idea that Jill, actually, our district attorney, is over here at Empire College. Congratulations. Well, I want to remind people, number one, the Sonoma County Gazette is out in the street. And as you know, I write the article, the column, Santa Rosa Snippets. So if there's anything in Santa Rosa going on, please let us know. And also you can contact the Sonoma County Gazette. They're always happy to run stories. Another thing that's happening that's very exciting is the Women's History Project has their gazette from the National Women's History Project called Women's History 2018 Gazette. And this year's theme, I am so excited, Nevertheless, She Persisted. I mean, think about that. Nevertheless, She Persisted. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I had two options. Well, I had three options. I could either be a wife and mother, or I could be a school teacher, or I could be a nurse. You know, those were the kind of the three options. And now when I look at the world and I see what's available to women, it's just an amazing process. And we're coming up in 2020. It's going to be 100 years since we got the vote. And also on March 17th, I will keep you posted, we will be celebrating 40 years in the Bay Area when women first marched for Women's History Month. You know, it's very interesting. I was part of the class in 1975 when I graduated. I was the very first student female chosen to speak at a graduation. And behind me as I'm speaking was the first woman, Marjorie Downing Wagner, to run a UC system. And it was one of the most exciting moments in my life. And I thought to myself, I remember my daughter was just a teenager, and I said to myself, I wonder what it's going to be like when she gets older and has her children, what opportunities are going to be available for her. Well, she owns a plumbing business, so that must be a step in the right direction. Anyway, folks, look for the Women's History Project, 2018 Gazette. And like I said, nevertheless, she persisted. And there's some wonderful, wonderful women. It's a special Women's History. Let me see if I can get some of the names that people might. Geraldine Ferraro, who ran for vice president at one time. Actually, she was the first woman that ever ran for a vice president. We have Loretta Ross here. Oh, my goodness, all these wonderful women. And all you have to do is contact the Women's History Project. It's nwhp.org, and you can get a copy of it. Well, I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for listening to Women's Spaces. I want to remind you that the show plays again at 11 o'clock tonight. I want to do a special thank you to Leslie Grave from Santa Rosa for the update on the Women's March, to Amy Gallagher for her update, to Cerisa McNichols and Estrella Martinez, and of course, a special thank you to our district attorney, Jill Ravage. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
No woman in your life.